I was surprised recently to find out that my primary care doctor essentially booted me out of her practice. I'd been getting voicemails like this one urging me to sign up for a new membership plan.
We are so far humbled by the support regarding our new program. A limited number of memberships remain available on a first-come, first-served basis. If you choose not to join our program, please contact our office for a list of referrals.
Well, come to find out, these programs are part of a trend toward membership medicine. You might have heard the phrase concierge doctor. Well, in my case, pay $1,600 a year and the doc promises same-day appointments and more thorough personalized care. This model is becoming more common as doctors respond to a growing workload of patients and paperwork, but I didn't want to pay for it, so I had to find a new doctor. Let's bring in Asaf Bitan. He's executive director at Ariadne Labs at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, where he is also a primary care doctor. Dr. Bitan, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
And since I got that message from my doctor, I've heard from a lot of other people who are going through something similar. How common is this new form of membership medicine?
Well, we don't know exactly, but we do know that it appears to be growing rapidly. There was a study about a couple of years ago that showed that about 6% of primary care doctors were in concierge medicine, and probably another 4 to 6% are in a related membership model called direct primary care. So certainly not the majority, but growing fast.
I want to look at why this is happening and the implications of it, but first let's just talk about how it works. So in my case, it was going to cost $1,600 a year to join this practice. What would patients hypothetically get for that money?
Usually what patients get in this model is a couple of things. They get enhanced access. They get same-day appointments that are usually guaranteed. They usually get the physician's cell phone number. They get a guarantee that the physician will spend much more time than in usual visits with them. Maybe if a usual visit is 15 minutes, they might get an hour. Many of these models also bundle some coordination of care, some help getting certain referrals more quickly, as well as sometimes including lab and other office-based services.
Mm. So the idea is you get those services if you pay this fee, but do you also then have to pay for insurance? Because if you're in a car accident, for example, or if you're diagnosed with cancer or a serious disease, I'm assuming the concierge fee isn't going to cover any of that.
That's right. And that's a really important thing that people need to keep in mind. You know, there are two forms of this model. The concierge care that you're describing is a form of care in which you're basically paying this annual membership fee for enhanced services or supposedly enhanced access, but you're still paying insurance for both all the other care that you receive and the visits that you go to with that doctor. There's a second model of care that's called direct primary care, where doctors in this model have aimed to try to reduce some of that concierge fee and basically use the money from the patient that will bundle together for all of their primary care services, including labs. So basically, it's almost like a gym membership in some ways. You can go as many times as you need, but you won't get the insurance billed for the primary care visit. You will need insurance for everything else in healthcare. So either way, you need insurance.
You mentioned that it's like a gym membership, which makes me wonder, do we know if this model is any better? Are we any healthier if we join it?
We really don't know if this model works. There have been precious few studies on it. The small literature that's out there that's asked patients in the model, do you like the care that you receive? Is your doctor more accessible? Do you have more time to spend with her or him? Suggests that people say they do. But on the big measures, does it help you control chronic diseases, prevent cancer, et cetera? We don't know of literature that suggests that it does.
I'm talking with Asaf Bitan at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston about doctors moving to membership-based practices. This is also known as concierge medicine. Doctor, help me understand something here. Why is this happening? What is it about being a primary care doctor right now that is steering some people towards this form of care?
The practice of primary care has become really hard, even though it's so necessary. We know that systems based on primary care perform better in terms of outcomes and equity for their populations. But because of the way that primary care is paid off of the number of visits that are generated within a practice, it has, for many doctors, started to seem like a hamster wheel where you have to run harder and harder and faster, see lots of people every day with shorter amounts of time, and then document it late into the night, as well as coordinate the care of your patient panel. So a lot of primary care doctors are stressed out. The COVID made things much worse. They're burned out. And they're looking for ways to make the practice of primary care more doable. So that has led to these models, which help them essentially have the ability to lower the number of patients that they need to take care of, to have more say over their schedule and still guarantee a salary that they want.
So they do have a smaller pool of patients that they're working from. That's a big part of this.
A huge part of it. Oftentimes they reduce the size of what we call their patient panel, the number of people that they take care of, by up to two-thirds or even three-quarters. People go from having, let's say, 2,000 patients to often having, you know, 400, 500, 600 patients.
I'm really sympathetic to the doctor burnout, especially after COVID. I mean, certainly I understand that. But as I said, in my experience, I had to go searching for a new doctor because of this. And experts who track this issue say that over the next decade, there's going to be a primary care physician shortage of up to 55,000 doctors. And so if doctors are moving to these membership models where they're seeing far fewer patients, what does that mean? Could that make the shortage of doctors even worse than it already is?
I really share your concern, as do many of my colleagues. We already, as you described, have a major access shortage, and this growing trend is only going to increase that. And it's even worse for people in communities and populations that need it the most. So we have significant worries about the access challenges that this seems to potentially make worse.
I mean, the healthcare system already is plagued by great inequalities. I worry about making that problem worse, like the haves and the have-nots. What are the implications for the people who can't afford to pay that fee?
Well, the fact is that very few people can and want and are able to pay. Sometimes it's $1,500, sometimes it's $5,000. We've seen in research from Harvard Medical School, fees north of $50,000 a year. Obviously, that caters to a very small set of people. So basically, if you're asking people to stay with the doctor who they know and trust and who knows and knows them and knows their care, but that's going to cost a huge amount of money, that's going to break a lot of relationships and make it even harder to access high-quality care for the people who need it most.
At the start of this conversation, I mentioned that you're also a primary care doctor, but you have not, I understand, gone into concierge medicine. Have you been tempted?
You know, I understand and sympathize with my colleagues around the pressures and the challenges of primary care. For me and for the colleagues in my practice, we take care of a wide range of patients. For me, primary care is about access and equity. It's about giving the same care to everybody, ranging from people who don't have housing to people who are CEOs and wealthy. I just can't do that sort of for my own ethos. And I think that there are better ways to ensure that we can make primary care more accessible for all. I think that starts with changing the way that primary care is paid, moving from visit-based measures that cause people to be on hamster wheels to paying primary care to take care of whole populations through the use of both personal physicians and team-based care. And I think we're seeing a lot of exciting movement in the area of team-based care and changing ways to pay for teams to help care for people and populations and individuals in a more equitable, improved outcome manner.
Dr. Asaf Bitton at Brigham and Women's Hospital there in Boston, thank you very much for your insights. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.